Welcome back. Here's where you left off.
Spoilers ahead for The Defector.
In this episode, we'll be talking about The Defector by Chris Hasfield. So we have another book from Chris Hasfield's here. And let's just say it started when a state-of-the-art Soviet MiG landed in Israel. And next thing you know, they tried to smuggle that plane back to the United States. And this is where the beginning of fun for a character named Kaz Kmezkis. As you guys know, he is part of the Apollo Murders book. So now he's continuing this character itself. So this is when it gets very interesting. The plot itself was talking about a plane that the Soviet made to go against the F-15. And this is when, to be honest with you, Derek, this is where I got so confused on the storytelling that I actually stopped and reread several chapters again to make sure I understand this. This is the one I reread. This part of the story is like they have a defector that flew the Foxbat, the MiG-25 to NATO. And next thing you know, he's in the US telling them how the plane works, but he was there to do something else. What do you think about this whole plot twist or the plot about this? What do you think about the plot? Because I don't know.
I think that Chris was going for a very true Cold War game of spies. And that this really reeked of it right from the get-go. So if you know that, you know, Israel is a close ally of the U.S., and at that time during the Cold War, having a plane come over and land in Israel would have been a big deal regardless. But also having what we would say is an advanced Soviet MiG as a prize, this was a common thing to occur during the Cold War, where any plane or ship or any technology that one side could get over the other to study it, to improve their technology and be able to make a fighter or a ship or a missile better than the other guy, was something that was very highly sought after. So they take this MiG-25 along with the pilot, is like, hey, I want a defect. Okay, no problem. Tell us how the plane works. We'll take you, we'll set you up a nice place, and we'll, you know, you tell us all the technical stuff. In comes Kaz, who is sort of, again, as we came across in the other book, the liaison, the person that has enough technical knowledge to get what's going on, but also keep an eye on this guy and see what he's doing. And this is where it sort of gets interesting for me, where they take him to Area 51, which a lot of people may know, but it's the super secret location in the States, which isn't exactly secret, where all the planes and all that during the early 60s and 70s, where the SR-71 spy planes, all the top planes were tested and done. And so it literally is the most secure facility that we know of, at least, in the world for the U.S.,
Yeah, so to make it easier to understand this, the pilot defected, hence the title, to the United States and saying, hey, I am a test pilot for the MiG-25. I'm here to bring you the plane, and in turn, I want to live in the United States. So as you mentioned, he got moved to Area 51. They gave him, they literally made him the SME, subject matter expert of this plane, and while they're dismantling it. At the end of this whole thing, he was there for another reason. Literally for another reason. He was there to drop off the plane, to give it to the Americans, but he was there to take photos and items for the nuclear tests that they had before. So the end goal was not the plane. It was something else. And this is when it got really interesting really fast for me, but at the same time I got confused because before all this started, there was a plane coming from Russia to from Russia into Cuba, in Cuba to Mexico, right? And the goal was for him to fly to Mexico to drop off all the equipment itself that he took, right? And I felt like this book was 6 chapters too long.
The guy's name was, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's called Grief. His name is Grief. It was just an abbreviation. Am I correct in the pronunciation there?
I believe so, yeah.
So that in itself, I think what you're talking about is where random chance happens, where Silvana, who was from the original book, who was the first woman on the moon, then fought out with Chad and survived that incident, finally came back and went to NASA to partner with them for upcoming Soviet NASA missions, goes to Vegas, and because Area 51 is located in Vegas, Kaz takes Grief out on the town as a reward, and they cross paths. And Silvana's like, I recognize that guy. I don't know if he should be here. Maybe I should tell someone. And so in a way, she's sort of throwing a wrench into the plans of the KGB and everyone, but we don't know about it in that part of the book.
No.
So we think that she's up to her same tricks again, being the Russian spy or doing her Russian thing and all that. So again, I kind of come back to the same interesting point, although it was a little better in this book where the person you're rooting for is Kaz. There's also this huge amount of intrigue in the book about who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, right?
You, actually, to be honest, I think you nailed it, because my thoughts about the Paul murders regarding the character Kaz, compared to him and now, I felt like that the character Kaz is so much better now. It's well, I don't want to say written, but well fleshed out, right? You said it correctly. He's more in your face as a hero character, right? And for him trying to juggle what's happening in Area 51 and seeing what's happening in NASA, it was a great thing to see, because you see this instead of seeing a two-dimensional character become more, right? And at the same time too, when he starts piecing the what's actually happening in Area 51, it sort of raises the flag and say, hey, this is happening, I need to stop this, right? But at the same time, I felt like the character was struggling so much trying to keep everything intact, right? That's when I said this character itself is very fleshed out now, because this is when I say I like Kaz now, right? And what he was doing. But at the same time too, that there's points in the book itself that I got physically bored reading it. Like, I literally sat down, started reading. I actually, Derek, I'm not joking, I actually closed it, cooked dinner, thinking going back to it again, and I just like, I can't do this anymore.
What part was that though?
His relationship with the scientist, it was good at the beginning, but it would just become very tedious. It felt like he was just trying to reintroduce her back over and over again. I got sick and tired of that. The other one as well too, the cosmonaut in NASA is pinnacle to the storytelling, but at the same time, I have enough to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want to know more.
My thought was when she's introduced to Vegas, is like, oh, not this one again. That was my thought when I was reading. I'm like, not this one.
Yeah.
And I was sort of like, she's going to be trouble was my first thought. Right?
Yeah, I don't see that at all, to be honest with you. I don't see her as a trouble. I see her as a, like, oh, great, another character that I didn't care about. You know?
I wish, okay, so I'm with you on the doctor side of things. I understand your argument about the doctor. It was sort of this love thing for Kaz. Yeah. And it's fine to put that in the book. I get that. I don't actually take issue with that. I think my problem mainly came with the twist where, and I mean, neither of us really know about this. Maybe Chris does. Maybe he was invited there. We don't know. You know, to Area 51. I would just have a hard time seeing how such a rigorously defended base, just a random Soviet guy can get into a helicopter, yes, and just fly off to some secret test site,
abandoned test
take
site,
all these pictures, and then, you know, come back to the base and then basically take his jet, right? I just don't, it's a bit of a stretch for me. And even in the end of the book, when Kaz goes up to find him in the F-15 and they get into the dogfight and he shoots him down, it's actually not even clear whether Grief ejected or not, whether he got out or not. It's not clear whether that was an ending to the book.
No, it's not clear. I agree with you. It wasn't clear how they actually finished the fight. I agree with you as well too, that Area 51 is supposed to be secure. Why can this guy get, like, there's no check, there's checks and balance in the base, but at the same time, there isn't a check and balance in the base.
I mean, I think logically Area 51 would logically be the place where they would take that stuff during the Cold War to test. I get that. But I think in Chris writing it the way he did, it might have served him better to just place it on a different, well-secured base versus Area 51. I mean, it's just the level of security there. You can't get within to a mile of that place without somebody showing up with guns at you, right?
Exactly.
And to think that the guy just can walk around and just take off and all, it's a bit preposterous to me, okay, right?
If you see me right now, I'm like freaking out right now because you said something that actually like triggered my memory here. There's a scene that the car drove in or drove close to the gate and the gate like, drove close to the gate and triggered a bomb. Seriously, because based on what my research on, you can't even get close to the main gate of Area 51, period. You can't. And this guy came in a car, blow it up, kill people, kill the guards, and granted, quote unquote, they disabled the alarm. It's like, or the communication. Seriously, come on! It was massive. It was like you're stretching something that does not to be stretched.
No, yeah. I like the plot. I liked it. It's just I think the location that he chose just makes it a little less realistic. And I think the point at the end of the book where we don't know if Grief is dead or not, I would have preferred to have that finality to it so that Kaz gets his payoff of working hard and getting up there and shooting him down. And you know, you definitively end the book. I mean, you can perceive or make the assumption for yourself that he's gone. It's just not very clear, right?
No, it wasn't clear at all. But I have this feeling that this character itself is coming back.
You mean Kaz?
Grief or whatever his name is. I got this feeling
so
he's going to come back.
So he's shot down in the middle of the Arizona desert, and you're like, he's coming back.
Not Arizona. It's Nevada.
Nevada. He's shot down over Nevada, some of the most contested.
He's coming back as a zombie, man. I'm telling you right now. But like at the end, for me, the ending was not – I felt like the ending was just an end of a chapter rather than like a big ta-da, more like next. More like,
there was a lot of misdirection in the book. And I think now that this is Chris's second book, he likes misdirection. It really seems that that's his writing style. And that's fine. I don't mind it at all. I enjoyed it. I mean, I knew the way he positioned it as, you know, when they talked about that flight, we didn't know it was all about But I knew at that point that I was then suspicious of Grief, even though nothing had come up yet. Because as a writer, he had to present that. But at the same time, it was, I don't want to say it was poorly done. I'm just saying it just leaves you with a big old question mark that as you read the book on and you keep on thinking back at it, I'm thinking, what was that all about? And it stuck with me for a long time in the book as we're going through the romance, as we're going through the Grief and Silvana meeting and her getting suspicious, which I think was irrelevant. I think he kind of put her in the book just to have a shout back to Apollo murders. And I didn't really feel that that was necessarily needed in the book. More so because I kind of found her as a character annoying. And when she came into this book, I was like, this woman again, great.
Well, the twist, the misdirection of the whole entire book, I really, really enjoyed. I really do like it. Like you said several times, remember, this is a second book with the same main character. Like I mentioned before, there is a massive change regarding storytelling on this character itself. If you look at Apollo Murders Kaz compared to Defector Kaz is way more better. It's well written character, more fleshed out. If you look at the two stories, we should not be talking about the two stories here, because the reason why I'm bringing this up, Derek, is if you look at the quality of writing, the quality of writing and the storytelling is way better here than the old book, than the previous book. But
I'm going to disagree with you. I think he knew what he was. I think that what he did was try to get to really capture that spy feel in the Defector, and that in the Apollo murders, the spy thing was sort of a subplot. It wasn't really the main focus of the book. And I enjoyed it. I think it was more up his lane than a true spy novel, even though historically most of what he wrote is accurate. I mean, he did sort of write an accurate representation of what would happen if they captured an enemy plane and where it would go and what would happen to it. I just think there was a bit of a stretch there where I found a little bit more unrealistic just for the argument of the location that he gave. If he had just put it on some random military base in the States, I would have been totally down for it. It just wasn't that, right?
Yeah, no. And for me, I'm going to read his next book. No matter what, I'm going to read his next book because of one thing, because of Kaz. I want to see how he evolves. And for his ability to do storytelling regarding plots and all that stuff, it's evolved. It's a night and day, and I can't wait. And I'm ready for the next one. So now I have a question for you, Derek. What would you give this book, and why?
I think I would give it a 6 out of 10. And I think where I knock it down is a lot to do with, I feel like it wasn't as thought out as the previous book. Some characters, like the girlfriend, like Silvana, were not really necessary in the book to give the tension that was needed. And I felt like when he was building tension in the book, it was lost because of these characters. I know that he probably introduced her as a way of creating tension, like, oh, you're a Soviet pilot. You're not supposed to be here. That's supposed to be your tension, right? But I didn't really feel like that was part of it in the way. And so the mechanisms he tried to put through there weren't as entertaining. And I think in the end, the other point that I take away from is the lack of finality to Grief, unless he intends to bring him back in a further book, maybe, as you said. But as a reader, you know, you want some resolution. In Apollo Murders, we know what happened in the end, even though maybe you disagree with it, maybe you didn't. You know, in a way, the Russians won, you know, so it depends how you looked at that, right? In this one, it's sort of like the Americans won, even though the Russians had the upper hand from the get-go. They had a plan, and it was working. So I would just say a 6 out of 10 for this one for me.
Okay. So mine is actually, I'm just thinking about his last book and how I gave it my score. I'm going to give this an 8.5 out of 10. I know this is a very controversial rating here based on my comments. The reason why I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10 because of Kaz. How the character has been fleshed out is brilliant. I really like it. But why I did not give the higher ranking is because of the... I got bored in some parts of the book. I got bored. Some of the areas are super exciting. There's things there that I was very, very exciting when I was reading it. Is when the defector actually trying to get away and start killing people, and in the base itself, I'm like, wow, this is gonna be great, right? But after that, it was downhill from there, and I was like, ugh, you lost me again. But overall, the storytelling was good, but not the best. The plot was good. The misdirection was excellent. I really enjoyed the misdirection. It's way better than Apollo Murders. The supporting characters, excluding the girlfriend and the cosmonaut, I like it. I do like it because it gives something into the story itself, not as a quote unquote filler characters. So that's why I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10, and I can't wait to read the next one, and I can't wait to poke holes on it based on what I've read for the past 2 books.
Join us in our next episode and read along with us as we review Zero Days by Ruth Weir, chapters 1-4. Thank you for opening the book with us today. Subscribe so you won't miss our next episode. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email at yourbookmarksinfo@gmail.com. Join us again, right here where you left off.